again. That's one of those passages that'd be worth your while just to come to church to hear it read and go home. That's one of those passages that is a sermon. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Say it out loud, ready? The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Say it again. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. I recall when I was a kid in Texas, they used to have in the Sportatorium, it was a big athletic place where they had wrestling and boxing and also some hillbilly performers and so forth. They had once a year what they called the Golden Glove. And the Golden Glove is a boxing deal, amateur boxing thing. Had old heavyweight and light heavyweight and middleweight and welterweight and lightweight and featherweight and bantamweight and paperweight and flyweight and fleaweight. And so I weighed 92 pounds of gristle. So I decided I was going to enter the Golden Glove. So, Mother doesn't know this. I never told her. She doesn't know it till now. She found out about this morning, I guess, in the early survey. So I went down into the Golden Glove. I just knew that I'd be the next Willie Pep. Willie Pep, by the way, for you spiritual people, was a boxer who was the world's, lightweight champion? Not lightweight champion. Anyway, featherweight, bantamweight, something. I knew I was. So I went down and they matched me to another fella and they hit the gong and I went out, you know, my guard up, ready to fight. And he felt led to hit me right in the nose to start off with. And I felt led to fall. And I fell. Now I'll never forget it because I had never really been hit right smack dab in the nose before. Right here, where you cry whether you're sad or not. You've got to cry. It knocks the tears out of you. And there I lay on my posterior, looking up at this fellow, him hovering over me. He looked four times as big when I was on my back looking up at him, but I got up. He did the same thing again. Sort of like the Bill Harvey tells the story about this fellow that shot some birds. Said he, hey, look at those quail, wham! And he missed every one of them. And he went, wham! And he hit him in the same place. And the fellow came back and hit me right in the same place. And knocked me down again, and I got up again. He knocked me down again, and I got up again. He knocked me down again, I wobbled up again. Nobody has ever known what real suffering is that has been in a prize fight. And you've seen these fighters, you know, they come back. Now, believe me, it ain't no put-on, I'll let it for sure. After I'm sure I went down a dozen times, I wobble back the last time for more, and the referee stopped the fight. 2 minutes gone, I guess, in the fight. And they didn't even last it around. Isn't that terrible? So I want you deacons to forget, don't forget that now. I'm really something. The referee looked at me as I got up the last time, and he said, congratulations, looking at me. I thought he should congratulate the other fellow. I said, why? He said, you broke the record. I said, what record? And if I said it, I could have said it. He said, you've been down and gotten up more than any fella in any fight I've refereed. I started believing that. A just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. What it really means, and here's the title of the message, you can't keep a good man down. That's exactly what it said. You can't keep a good man down. You knock him down, but you can't keep him down. I mean, he'll go under, but he'll come back up. You can't keep a good man down. Now, why does the Bible say a just man falleth seven times? Why didn't he say six times, or eight times, 10 times, or 1,000 times? Because in the Bible, seven is the number of completeness. Seven means keep on. For example, in Proverbs 6:31, it says, the thief shall restore sevenfold. What does that mean? It means he's supposed to restore all he took and more. In Genesis 4:24, when Cain killed Abel, the Bible says, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold or seven times. Why? It means that Cain's going to suffer for his crime as long as he lives. He'll keep on, like 7 days in a week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You start again, and seven, and seven, and seven, and seven, and seven, and seven. Seven colors in the rainbow, and you start over again. And what the Lord is saying here is that Cain, when Cain's avenged seven times, he's going to start again. He'll always be avenged. In Job 5:19, it says, in seven troubles shall no evil touch thee. I like that. In seven troubles shall no evil touch thee. What God is saying is this: if you're in His will and if you love God, it matters not how many evils come to you. It'll never be bad for you. It's always good for you. That means if the lights go out, as they did in the first service this morning, that's for the good. That means whatever happens, it's for the good. No evil shall come, though you have in seven troubles shall no evil touch thee. And that's why in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, when they came to Jesus and said, our Lord was teaching forgiveness, and they said, how many times shall we forgive? Seven times? What were they saying? Young people, no talking, please. What were they saying? Seven times. They said, should we keep on forgiving forever? That's what seven meant, forever. It means the infinite. And the Lord said, forgive your enemy, forgive your enemy. And they asked Him, said, how many times? Seven times or forever? He said, no, 70 times seven. What He was saying is, no, not forever, but forever and ever and ever. Young people over here, hey, boy in blue shirt, and ever 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 and ever. What? We're always supposed to forgive. That's what it is. Somebody does you wrong, forgive him. Somebody else does you wrong, forgive him. He does you wrong again, forgive him. Does you wrong again, forgive him. Does you wrong again, forgive him. Keep on and keep on and keep on. Never hold a grudge. Never fight back. Never retaliate. Never get mad at people. Never feel like you've been mistreated. And never hurt. Never be hurt. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. But keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Now the same thing's true here. How many times should you get up? Keep on getting up. How many times? Just keep on. You can't keep a good man down. Now, there are four things I want to call your attention. In the first place, keep getting up from sin. Keep getting up from sin. You fall into sin, get up. You stumble, get up. You fall down, get up. Keep falling. If you keep falling into sin, keep getting up. You recall, don't you, when you remember the first few hours of your salvation? Maybe you got saved on a Sunday. How many of you got saved on a Sunday? Got saved on a Sunday. Most of you did. All right, and don't you recall, maybe you knelt at the altar and you got up and you said, praise the Lord. Maybe you didn't say it out loud, but inside you felt so good and so clean. And you knew your name was written in heaven. And you could sing, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. And you felt so good. You went home that night and you went to bed. And you said to yourself, if I died, I'd go to heaven. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So many nights I go to heaven. I go to heaven. So a lot of you folks tell me to go somewhere else. But I go to bed so many nights. And you'll be old and senile someday. And then you want somebody to sympathize with you. And, oh, shut up, Brother Fist. I resolve to be good to you today. He's got a new hairstyle. He's been to the beauty shop and has a new hairstyle. Brother Sully calls him Frizzy. And I said, Brother Sully. I said, Brother Sully. I said, he is fuzzier underneath his scalp than he is above his scalp. But I'd like to say, it's me that's fuzzier underneath my scalp. I'm trying to prove what I said a while ago, that I'm mentally tired. I'm doing a perfect job of it. But you recall how happy you felt. So often I go to bed at night. Maybe, as all of us do, if we'll have a little pain in the arm, that means a heart attack. Everybody's got a pain in the left arm, that's a heart attack, especially if you're a man. And I get thinking, well, maybe I won't wake up in the morning, but bless God, I'll go to heaven. You know, it's a wonderful thing. That's why the Savior said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. And the word rejoice there is more than just rejoice. It means jump up and down and click ye. In the Greek, it means that jump up and down and click ye heels together and say, praise the Lord! I can't do it very well, but praise the Lord. My name is written in heaven. And remember how happy you were? your sins forgiven, and you said, oh, thank God. And I know what you thought, too. I thought the same thing. I'll never sin again as long as I live. I'll never do it. Boy, I'm glad the old life is gone, Brother Sully said. I'll never serve as a bartender again as long as I live. He didn't know he'd be serving as a bartender in the Hammond City Rescue Mission. But he said, I'll never curse again as long as I live. Maybe you had a filthy tongue, you told dirty jokes, and you cursed, and you said, I'm so ashamed of myself. And you thought, how could I have done that? How could I ever have been so filthy mouthed? How could I ever have profaned God's name? I was down in Texas this last week. And I went to a shopping center, and I just took a walk. I wanted to get some exercise. And I was in a certain store just looking around, and a female came in, a woman. I started to say a lady, but I always like to be as honest as I can. She came in, and she had on hip huggers, except they weren't quite hugging all her hips. And I mean, way down. And from and just a little something up here to cover the bare necessities, and almost falling off of her. And the man, a salesman in the store, said, look at that woman. And I looked, and not only did she have almost nothing on, but she had an arrow pointing on her abdomen, pointing toward the most sacred place on a woman's body. An arrow, either painted or a decal or something. And I was horrified. She went out outside the store, and I followed her out. And I said, would you mind me being very kind to you? I said, dear woman, that it's hard enough for men to live right nowadays without you ladies practically inviting every man that walks down the street to commit sin. And she said, my husband doesn't mind. And I said, why don't you just let your husband see it then and nobody else? And why don't you, the very idea of an arrow pointing to the sacred spot like that. And so I said, I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to gently and kindly register my protest against that kind of dress. And I, in the pulpit, I don't do it gently and mildly, but I try to be kind to her. And so I walked, took a little exercise, walked down to the shopping center, and I was watching a fellow playing an organ demonstration, playing good music for a change, and I sat and watched him for a while. And a little crowd gathered around, and this female came up to me. About 5 minutes after I'd told her about her dress, she said, could I say something to you about what you said a while ago? And I said, yes. She said, U-G-O-D-D-A-M-N, fool, you get your, and she used a part of my anatomy, the next word. If you don't like the way I'm dressed, you get your blankety-blank out of here. And she cursed me for 5 minutes there in the shopping center, and the crowd gathered around. Oh, she cursed me. You like that, don't you? You'd like to curse me sometimes, and she did what you'd like to do. But anyway, she cursed me for all I was worth. And finally, when she got through, she said, and besides that, I'm trying to cover up a scar with that arrow. And then I said, honey, if you really want to try to cover that scar up, I'll buy you a skirt at the ladies' shop over here across the way, and you can succeed in covering up that scar then. And, But I got to thinking, after I got away, God bless her, probably she didn't have a mother to teach her how to dress. She's swept up in this heathen, pagan society of indecency and immorality and lasciviousness and wickedness and filth and vulgarity. And she didn't have a dad to spank her when she did wrong, probably. And she didn't have a pastor to stand up and point his finger in her face and say, you ought to live right. You ought not to dress like a bunch of heathen. She didn't have that as she grew up. Thank God for the gospel message of Christ. And when you got saved, you thought you'd never do that again. I'd never go into sin again. But then one day, all of a sudden, you did it. You said a bad word, and you didn't mean to say it. And you said, oh, did that come out of my lips? I thought I'd never curse again. What happened? You fell, that's what. But a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. Say, what should I do? Get up. Just get up. Ask God to forgive you and get up. But you say, preacher, I took a drink of liquor and never thought I would again. Get back up! But you say, preacher, I said, yeah, I smoked a cigarette and I told God I'd never smoke one as long as I live and I did. Well, get up! But you say, preacher, I did something awful bad. Went back to the old life and spent a night in sin. I even went to a dirty body house. Well, get up! But you say, preacher, I feel so dirty. Okay, feel dirty, but get up! A just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. It was, don't forget, Peter preached the great sermon on Pentecost after he had committed his awful sin. David wrote the 23rd Psalm after he had committed his awful sin. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, or a prince of God, after he had been away from God for those many, many years. And again, the Bible the same way. John Mark wrote the book of Mark after he had forsaken Paul on the first missionary journey. And on and on, on and on, on and on. Jonah preached the great sermon and had the great revival in Nineveh after he had forsaken the will of God and gone down and gotten in the belly of the fish. Now I'm saying, get up. This morning I'm talking to a young person. You've fallen into sin. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. I'm talking to a young person who cheated on a test last week. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. I'm talking to young people this morning who've been out necking in parked cars and living like heathen beasts do. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Could I say this? I'm sort of burned now. I don't want anybody to think I'm being unkind. But could I say this? There's a man in this building this morning who back yonder numbers of years ago didn't go into deep, deep sin, but some folks thought he did. And he did slip away from God a little bit. And that man is, oh my, he's one of the finest men we have in this church now. I love him like I love my own brother. And he's as dear and as precious and as thoughtful to me and of me as any man I know. Because you're lost around doesn't mean you've lost the fight. Because you lost the first inning, that means you've lost the game. Because you've lost a battle doesn't mean you've lost the war. Don't get discouraged. Get up. Get up. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Get up from your sin. Get up from the gutter. Get up from the quagmire. Don't be defeated because you lost a battle. Get back up. And so get back up from sin. You can't keep a good man down. I'm thinking of a young man who came to my office a number of years ago. He said, Brother Hiles, I'm telling you, I'm having an awful time. And I said, what is it? And he said, Brother Hiles, I slip away and I go to these peep shows. And I go down sometimes downtown Chicago and I go to some of these dirty, filthy movies. I mean, the burlesque movies. I mean, the nude shows. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I go to the movies and sometimes the striptease. He said, nobody knows I do it. Nobody knows I do it. But he said, Brother Hiles, I feel so bad. I said, man, get back up. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. And he did. But he stumbled one time again. And he came back and I said, let's get on our knees. And he did. And he got back up again. And that's how bad he got. Where is he this morning? He's pastor of a church. You say, that kind of man pastoring a church? That's the only kind God has. Well, you say, I wouldn't have any filthy-minded fellow pastoring me. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. None of us is worth being an example for the rest of us. All of us have stumbled. None of us can cast a stone. Oh, sometimes I thought this morning when I got back to my office, how could I be so dumb? I mean, I'm supposed to be smart. I'm supposed to be a preacher of preachers and a pastor of pastors. How could I not think? How could I not think in the pulpit like I want to think and say something I wish I hadn't said? I'll tell you why. Because I'm a sinner like you are. And we're weak and we fall and we stumble. But blessed be God, there's a God who loves us and cares for us. Aren't you glad God's not as hard on us as we are on each other? Amen. We never forget. Guy can get in trouble one time and 10 years later. Most of us, we won't forgive him, but thank God he will. He will abundantly pardon. And I checked up that word abundantly one time for the fish. You know what that means? It means he just pardons and 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 pardons. That's the kind of God we have. This morning, are you in sin? Get up! The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. There's a second falling that so many find themselves in, and that's a falling into failure. Get up from sin and also get up from failure. What does it mean? It means we're not going to succeed all the time. No, we're not. I recall when I was a senior in high school, I'd worked so hard, and I've told you the story, I won't go into it. I'd worked so hard to be in the National Honor Society. I wanted to get a 4-year lens pen. That meant I made the honor roll every report card time, all the way through junior high school and high school, and I had. I'd made pretty decent grades, and I wanted to get be in the National Honor Society. And I was up for the National Honor Society, and the faculty was approving me, and I blew it. I faked a faint in public speaking class. Faked a faint. You heard me tell about it. I acted like I fainted rather than make the public speech. And the fellow that carried me out tickled me under the ribs, and when he did, I laughed, and the narrow-minded teacher flunked me in the course. And I flunked public speaking, and I was so sad. I was so sad. Everything I'd worked for in junior high school. We had, back in those days, had 3 years of junior high school and 3 years of high school. And in junior high school, I'd worked for 3 years to get that National Honor. It was my goal. And in high school, I'd worked for 3 years. And now in one stupid, blundering, idiotic mistake, I'd faked a faint, and now she scratched my name off the list. And I'll never forget when they had the National Honor Society time. I sat out there, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. But you know, I've always sort of felt the reason you go down is to get up. Get up! Get up! So you failed! Get up! So you didn't do too well! Get up! So you had a tough time! Get up! So you stumbled! Get up! Get up! Get up! The just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. Anybody can fail, but you don't have to quit because you fail. Get up. Get up from failure. I said a while ago, that's the difference. That's what separates the men from the boys. Everybody falls. Everybody falls. You don't know. You don't know. I preach so much. I preach over 3 sermons a day. One day not long ago, I preached 7 hours out of the. I preached 7 consecutive hours except time to eat lunch and supper. And sometimes I get through preaching, Brother Fisk, and I say, I just laid an egg. Of course, never here. I'm always wonderful here. But I say, I just laid an egg. I just don't know. And sometimes I go to my room, in a motel room on in the road, and I'll say, I tell you, I just don't want to go back tomorrow. I don't want to face those people. And yet, boy, there's something inside of me that says, you coward, you get up. You wind that old thing back up again. And don't, I mean, bleed a while, okay, but get back up and get back in the battle and get back in the... And you know, I usually preach my best sermons right after I preach my worst sermons. You're expecting a good one tonight, aren't you? And I know how crooked you are, even though you get critical. Rise up! And from failure. I mean, you don't have to be licked. Did you know the greatest preachers I know faced a dark hour when they could have given up? And many preachers do give. That's where the Lee Robertsons and the John Rices and the Bob Joneses and the Tom Malones and the great men of God are separated from the boys. All of us face the firing squad. We all get discouraged. We all want to quit. We all want to turn back. We all cry ourselves to sleep. All of us do. But blessed be God, there are some people that get up again. They get knocked down, they get up again. They get knocked down, they get up again. So just keep on getting up and keep on getting up and keep on getting up from failure. But there's a third thing from which we all always get up, and that is from heartache. From heartache. Now, all of us have it. All of us. But get up. I was thinking about the preachers last night. I was thinking about this thought. I was thinking about all the preachers. You know, most of the preachers that cut up the most in the pulpit and you enjoy the most, and they laugh a great deal, most of them have been through so many battles. That's why they laugh. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yet last night, yesterday afternoon late, I got a call. I said, hello. And the voice said, Brother Jack. And that's nobody but Lester Olof's voice. Nobody can say that like he can. Brother Jack. I said, this Brother Jack. He said, Brother Jack, I knew it. I knew it. I said, you knew what? You see, a few weeks ago, a few days ago, some of my friends and from around the country and folks here and so forth, they put up a marker down in my birthplace, Italy, Texas, about a 6-foot marker in my honor, tribute to Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. It looks like a tombstone. And I never forget how I felt when I walked away from it. I felt like I'd like to feel the next time they put one up somewhere. But I walked away. I told the folks that night, I felt like I ruined the party. There they had my funeral. I had a few chairs here, you know, and all the bereaved were sitting there, both of them, and sitting there. It's sort of at the end of the main street in the little town where I was born, Idlib, Texas. And Brother Olaf said, I knew it. I said, knew what? He said, I knew it. I said, what? He said, I knew when they buried you, you wouldn't stay down. He said, Brother Jack, they tried to get a tombstone big enough to hold you. The thing weighed hundreds and I'm sure thousands of pounds. I never pushed it up. He said, I knew. I thought they had a tombstone big enough to hold you. But he said they didn't. And I got to thinking of it all the times. It seemed like when I'm down, he's up. He's up, he's down, I'm up. All the times. He said, Brother Jack, you know the heartache he's been through. He said, Brother Jack, he said, the doors of the Rebecca home are wide open now. Wide open. He said, we're taking not only 15, 16-year-old girls now, and 17, we're taking 12-year-old girls and 13-year-old girls. He said, it's wide open now. And not only that, he's suing that crowd of liberal press for libel. He's suing them. Now the Chicago newspapers are scared to death. He's suing the Chicago newspaper, one of them. and they're scared to death. You wait, boy. They're going to pay. They're going to pay through their noses for that. Yes, they are. And somebody said, well, you shouldn't sue your brother. They ain't our brothers. Oh. No. But I thought, bless God, he's up again. He's up again. I've known him all these years. I've seen him go down, but every time he goes down, I know he's coming back up. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. You can't keep a good man down. The just man falleth. The foolish man falleth one time and lies there and dies. But the just man falls and gets up and 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 he'll end up on top. Why? The just man falleth seven times but riseth up again. That's why. That's why. That's where you separate the men from the boys. In the ministry, yeah. Same way in business. I recall the day when Russell Anderson didn't have as much money as I have. Boy, he was in trouble. Went broke in business. Broke! But you can't keep a good man down. Now, think of all he's done for all so many people across America. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Some of you folks haven't heard me tell about that little fight I saw out in Denver, Colorado. I'd rented a car out there one time, was driving back to the airport from preaching, and I came to a vacant lot, and across on my left over here, the two boys were fighting. One was bigger than the other, and I stopped to stop the fight. But I wanted to wait a while before I stopped the fight, because I enjoy a good fight. And so I... watching, and this one guy, he hit this kid, blood squashed out of his nose and ears and eyes, everything else, and down in the dust he went. He either had bloody dirt or dirty blood, I'm not sure what, all over him. He got back up and he wobbled over, and the fella hit him again. And he went down, the guy got back up and he wobbled, and I saw that kid go down seven times, bloody, all blood all his face, dirt and grime. Go down and quieten those people. Tell them I said, don't come in there every Sunday. One thing about it, boy, these folks, whoever comes down there, they're just. So they rise again every Sunday about this time. This kid came back in and he hit it again. And seven times he went down and he was lying there bloody. And he was trying to crawl back up again. Back up. Like that. And I said, hey, hold it, hold it. I said, stop it, fellas. And, he said, Don't stop the fight, mister. Not the fellow's winning, the bloody kid. I said, what'd you say? He said, mister, don't stop it. And I said, why? He said, 'cause I ain't got my second wind yet. And he said, when I get my second wind, I'm going to beat the D-E-V-I-L out of him. So I just let him go on. And pretty soon he got his second wind. Went down one more time. He got his second wind. He got up and he beat that guy to a pulp. And I enjoyed it. You say, you're cruel. Nobody's perfect. And he beat that guy to a pulp. Why? He got up. That's the kind of guy I like. That's the kind of church I like. That's the kind of preacher I like. That's the kind of college student I like. I like the one when he gets down. Listen, the reason you go down so you can bounce. Get up! Get up! Get up! If you fail, get up. If you're in sin, get up. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. There's a third thing from which we ought to rise, always. As I said, that's the heartache. There's another, and that is from reversals. From reversals. One of the best introduction I ever had as a preacher was from Dr. Lee Robertson. He introduced me at Tennessee Temple College one morning and said, this is Dr. Jack Hiles, the man that always gets back up. We can't keep him down. And I was thinking this morning and last night of all the reversals of this church. You know, this church is a testimony to the entire world. Getting up, boy, you can win nobody. 14 years ago today, about town, fate of my life. No, not the people that left the church. We had a church split. I first came, not the people that left the church. Most of them, if not all of them, were good people, and they wouldn't try to physically harm me. But some wicked people. A couple back here. Randy, you listen to the sermon too. It's the third time I've had to call you down. And, by the way, I better see you after the service. And, some mean people had gotten hold of it. They threatened my life, and practically every day of my life would be threatened. And the church, we had a hard time. We have 700 in Sunday school. One Sunday have 710, next Sunday 715, next Sunday 703. We couldn't get out of 700. I used to drive by the Christian Fellowship Church over here, and I used to see, they used to have their Sunday school attendance outside on the marker outside. It would say Sunday school attendance 1,002 last Sunday. I wanted to bomb the sign. We couldn't get out of 700 to save our life. We quit running the biggest Sunday school in Hammond. And I'd see Bob Murphin, a good man, a fine man, a friend of mine. I'd see him on the street, and I'd make like I was mad at him because he ran more in Sunday school than we did, and so forth. See, I couldn't get stuck, unstuck, but thank God the old church got up again. And it seemed like we got on our feet, just on our feet, and finally built this building we needed so badly. We built this building, and then 3 months after we dedicated, 3 months to the day, an arsonist came and struck a match and lit the fire to the building next door. There was a building over here called the Baptist Youth Center. And the building next door was our old auditorium, struck them and burned that building and this one. And this new auditorium was full of smoke, and we thought it was going to be burned. And I walked in those doors back there, and you couldn't even see your hand hardly in front of your face. And water was in several inches up on the new carpet. We just built the building, and the walls were stained with smoke. And the building we'd worked so hard to put up, and we'd given our life's blood to put up. I saw them take axes and chop holes in that wall back there. And I stood here behind this pulpit and cried like a baby. And I said, dear God, don't let this building go. The people have given their life's blood, and you know it's all we have. And that next morning we met. We didn't have any nurseries. We had to have our baby beds out in the hallways. By the way, nobody complained. Charred, smoky hallways over in the building where the office is. Baby beds there. We met and had a piece of runner, plastic runner down this aisle over the filthy carpet full of smoke and our beautiful new auditorium 3 months after we dedicated it. But blessed be God, we didn't stay down. No, we didn't. We got up again. The devil has lost every arrow he can at our church, and he's emptied his quiver, I hope. he's shot every bomb, every bullet, and every bomb, and he's every weapon in his arsenal. He's pointed toward this church, but listen. You can't beat a man who'll get back up. You can't beat him. And you can't beat a church that'll get back up from reversals. There are many folks this morning in this room who have broken hearts, problems, heartaches and burdens and sorrows. I know it. I told the early church this morning this, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but there's a boy in this church who's very sick. Teenage boy. One of the greatest blessings to me I know in the whole world is that boy and his parents. The other day I saw his mother out here outside the door in the alley, and I said, I want you to know I pray for you every day and think about you, think about the boy. I wish I could do more of what I ought to do. Church is so big, and it's all I can do to work day and night and keep the bills paid and everything going. And I have to have folks to do other things that normally a pastor would do in a smaller church. And I said, I want you to know every day of my life I think about you and pray for you and thank God for you. And she said, Pastor, you're so busy and you've got so much to do. He said, there's so many more that need your help, more than we do. The Wellmans. You know, that kind of person's going to make it. Going to make it. You know the kind of guy I want to be? I want to be a getter-upper. Paul, rise! Paul, rise! Somebody this morning in this room has fallen into sin. Get up!
Get up!
Get up, young lady.
Get up, young man! Get up, fella! Get up, woman! Get up, child! Get up, mother! Get up, father! Get up!
The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. I'm talking to some folks this morning who've just about let discouragement get you down. Just about it get you down. You're about to give up. Lady in this church, young lady, came to see me. You're going to commit suicide. I always, if they want to commit suicide, I always tell them how to do it. She had slit her wrist, and I said, look, more people who try to slit their wrist to kill themselves live than die. It's a horrible way to commit suicide. I said, the best thing you do is go over here to the Chicago, the bridge over the Skyway, and this big bridge over the Chicago River. I said, nobody's ever jumped off and lived. And I said, the best thing you do is go over there and jump off. That's the surest way. She said, that's dangerous. I want to be the kind of person that when I get discouraged, I want to get back up again. I want to be the kind of person that when I have reversals, I want to get up again. I want to be the kind of person that when I slip into sin, I get up again. I want to be the kind of person that when the failures come, I want to get up again. I want to get up again. And I want you to do the same thing. I'm talking to some college student this morning about to go home. Get back up.
She said, well, I'm homesick. Get up! I'm discouraged. Get up! I'm lonesome. Get up!
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. The kind of thing that makes man. The kind of thing that makes success. The kind of thing that makes power. The kind of thing that makes victory. The kind of thing that makes the battle ours. A person stumbles and falls and maybe into sin or discouragement or failure or despair or reversal. He falls, but he gets up. And he falls, but he gets up. Get up, get up, get up, get up! Get up, get up. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. That's who wins the victory. That's who wins the victory. Get up this morning. Get up. I'm 48 years old nearly. I was thinking a while ago, I wonder how many times I've laughed this morning since I came to church. I was just thinking, I wonder how many times. In the first service, and in Sunday school, and in this service, I wonder how many times I've laughed. And I wonder how many times I've laughed here and cried here at the same time. I wonder how many times. Yet the honest truth is, the preachers that laugh the most when they preach are the preachers that bear the most wounds. So I don't believe in laughing in church. You cry as much as I've cried this week, and you can laugh in church. Get up. Get up. Get up! Get up! Get up! Teenager, get up! Any coward can quit. Any Benedict Arnold can turn. Rise up. Are you in sin this morning? Get back up. Defeated? Get back up! You fail? Sure, everybody fails. Get up! Get up. Get up. Have a reversal? Get up. Anybody can run? Anybody can run? Did you ever stop and think about this? When the Lord gave us the armor in Ephesians, He gave us a breastplate and a helmet and a sword and a shield. Did you ever stop and think He never gave us anything for the hindside? You look carefully. He gave us something to cover our heads, our faces, our breasts, our vital organs, our feet. He gave us nothing for the back. Why? God never intended for a Christian to show his back to the enemy. That's why. Never did. Keep on going. Keep on going. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Let us pray. Father, bless my people. Some of them have an awful heavy load this morning. Some of them are going to cry themselves to sleep tonight, and did last night. And some have cried till the tears won't come anymore. Bless my people. May they hear this passage and these words ringing in their ears for days and weeks and months and years to come. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Bless those in sin this morning. May they hear the word, the just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. May those discouraged and about to give in hear the word, the just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. God bless them. Our heads are bowed. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, there's some sin in my life. I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to get back up. There's some sin in my life. I'm going to get back up. Raise your hand, would you please? All over the building. No one looking. All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. You can lower your hands. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I've failed in some way. I've failed in some way. Brother Hiles, I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to let failure cause me to lose. I'm not going to let one round cause me to lose the war. Brother Hiles, I've failed in some respect. But I'm going to rise up again. I'm going to do it. Raise your hand, would you please? Raise your hand all over the house. All over the house. You can drop your hands. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I have a heavy heart or a burden, and it hurts. But I'm not going to let it defeat me. I may cry, and I may have to lie here a while and bleed, but I'm not going to let it defeat me. I've got a heavy, broken heart this morning, but I'm going to rise again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. Brother Hiles, I have a heavy heart this morning, But I'm not going to let it lick me. I'm going to rise again. Would you lift your hand, please? Way up high. Way up high. Way up high. God bless you. Father, bless these dear people. May they realize it's no disgrace to lose a battle, but it's a disgrace to quit before the war's over. May they realize it's no disgrace to stumble in a race, but it's a disgrace not to finish the race. I pray you bless these heavy-hearted ones. It's no disgrace to weep, no disgrace to bleed. The greatest of men have had to lie and bleed. The greatest of men have had to weep. The greatest of men have seen a few failures. But help us to say with the old General Douglas of MacArthur, I shall return. Bless these dear ones. Our heads are bowed. I wonder who would say this morning with the howls, I'm not even saved. I don't even know that I'd go to heaven if I died, but I wish I did. I'd like to have Jesus. I'd like to be a Christian. Brother Hiles, pray for me that I might be saved. Pray for me on the main floor first. Lift your hand if you'd like me to pray for you. If you want to be a Christian, you don't know that you're going to heaven. God bless you, lady. I see you back in the back. Who else on the first floor, the lower floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Raise your hand way up high, would you please? God bless you back in the back. I see you. God bless you here on the aisle. I see you. Who else would say, include me in the prayer? I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? Would you raise it way up high? In the balcony. Who would say in the balcony, pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. There's several hands back here. Yes, God bless you on the main floor. Who in the balcony would say, pray for me. Anywhere in the balcony. I want to know I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Lift your hand, would you please? God bless you. I see you. Who else? Yes, who else? Who else in the balcony? Anywhere in the balcony? Yes, God bless you, lady. God love you. Who else? Who else in the balcony? Anywhere else in the balcony? Pray for me. I'd like to be saved. Father, I do pray for these dear ones. I pray this morning they'll say yes to Jesus and come to know Him. Please, please, may they come to Jesus. Our heads are bowed. This morning, if you raised your hand, or if you should have and did not, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song in a minute. I want you to leave your seat. I want you that lifted your hand in the balcony on the lower floor, wherever you are, I want you to come toward the aisle, down the aisle to the front, and give me your hand if you'll give your heart to Jesus this morning. You can become a Christian, and someone here can take a Bible and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Huh? You come this morning. If you're here and you've been saved and not yet been baptized, you come for baptism. If you want to join this church but transfer, then you come to transfer your membership. Father, bless the invitation. We leave it in Thy hands and pray that You'd speak to the hearts of the people. Amen.